Torrey Weaver had himself a pre-draft presser. Did he say anything in this presser that we could take away from and get some insight in who the Pistons could be drafting at five? Also, we have some more reports about Jeremy Grant. We'll talk about all that in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button at the Locked On Pistons YouTube channel. It's the best way to support the podcast. I'd really appreciate it. On our way to 3,000 subscribers, continuing to show Locked On. We're the best and fastest growing fan base at the Locked On Network. So again, if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button over at the Locked On Pistons YouTube channel. So Troy Weaver had himself a pre-draft presser yesterday. I'm recording this on the 21st, so he had it on the 20th. He had it yesterday. He said a lot of things in there, and a lot of things are usually, you know, a lot of it is GM speak. What do most people, like coach speak, they, you know, QB answers, kind of thing like that. Not much to look into the normal answers that you're probably going to get out of those guys. But I did think he said a few things that were a little bit interesting, and we'll talk about that coming up. We also have some more Jeremy Grant reports. I know some of you guys are telling me, oh, I'm so sick of you talking about Jeremy Grant trades. Well, you know, as long as the reports keep coming out, we're going to keep talking about them because it's news. So we're going to talk about that later. Also, I want to update you guys on some minor news that happened. Corey Joseph did pick up his $5.1 million player option. So he will be returning to the Detroit Pistons unless he's included in a possible draft night trade or a trade during free agency or anytime before the season. But as of right now, he did pick up his option. He will be returning to the Detroit Pistons. I don't know if that makes any difference in who they go after as a third or fourth point guard. I'd say no, but there's that. All right. So let's go ahead and get into this availability that Troy Weaver, pre-draft media availability that he had last night. Talk about some of the things he said. So like I said, a lot of the stuff was just things you expected him to say. Talking about Kay Cunningham, he talked about how his fit or how the player that Kay Cunningham is means that they don't have to really worry as much about fit with these picks because they feel like Kay can fit with basically anybody. I feel like we already knew that. We already had that idea, had that thought in our head. We didn't need to hear him say it. He also talked about how their board is not complete yet. They're still working through it. They're going through the process. At five, he said, quote unquote, we're at mercy of the board. So all those kind of things you expect to hear from him. Now, there was one quote that he said that I retweeted when one of the beat writers tweeted it out because I really liked hearing this. I don't know if he's just saying this to say it or if it actually gives an idea of what they're going to do. But he says, this tweet is from Amari Sankofa, the second of the Free Press. He says, Weaver on weighing long-term upside versus being able to contribute immediately. He says, quote unquote, we're going to draft a player who has the most potential long-term. But in that, you would hope that they can contribute, but we want the best player for the long haul. Now, that's incredibly interesting to me. Now, there's another quote later on that he says that could just basically throw that back in my face and it could be just a bunch of nothing. They asked him, this is basically about Keegan Murray. I think everyone knows this was someone asking about Keegan Murray. But he also went on to say, Weaver said he does not subscribe to the idea that a 23-year-old prospect can't improve their game. Said that there are 18-year-olds who limit themselves and he's seen young prospects who just, quote, don't get it. So you think that with the first quote about weighing long-term upside versus being able to contribute immediately, that kind of talks about Keegan Murray, at least amongst the community. The community and a lot of people think that Keegan Murray was one of the rookies or one of the guys that you can pick who will be able to contribute immediately but may not have the best long-term upside of any of the guys that could be available at five. He sort of has a low ceiling. So when I first saw that tweet, I was like, okay, does that mean that Weaver could be more interested in possibly a Benedict Mathurin? Could he be more interested in a Shaedon Sharpe? Do they think highly of the long-term aspirations of Dyson Daniels? Like, or could they really be, do they really think that they're going to be able to get Jaden Ivey at five? Or is that their way of saying that maybe Keegan Murray isn't as high on their board because they don't think he has that long-term upside? But then he goes on later, like I said, to say that he doesn't think a 23-year-old prospect can't improve their game. So do I think he gave us anything to look into with that quote? Probably not. Not really. He kind of said exactly what you need to hear him say. Oh, we're going to get the best player, but also I don't think that you know, just because they're older doesn't mean he can't be the best player, whatever, whatever. So I do hope, though, that that's the idea and that's the ideology that they're working with here, that they're not worried about making the play-in next year, that they're not worried about, making the play-in in 2 years. They're worried about having whoever's going to be the best player in 3, 4, 5 years from now. Because in 3, 4, 5 years from now, that's when Cade's hitting his prime. That's when the rest of the, I guess, quote-unquote young core, which I don't think a lot of these guys are going to be here in 3 to 4 or 5 years. But if you're looking at these young guys as part of their core, in 3, 4, 5 years, that's when they're hitting their prime. 4 or 5 years, Cade's going to be 24, 25. That's your prime. Sadiq's going to be 25, 26. That's his prime. If Killian's still around, that'll be 24, 25. That'll be his prime. Same thing with Stu. Same thing with all these young guys. You want to be ready at that time to be able to have a real team and a team that can go up against everybody else. That's the idea, the ideal, I should say, time frame for when you want to have a legitimate team. So I'm happy to hear that he said they're not really worried about being able, not that they're not worried about, they'd like to see it, obviously, but not that if they can't contribute immediately, that won't change their pick. Because again, that they should be worried about 3, 4, 5 years from now. That's when the Pistons will be legit. Not whether they can make the play-in next year or the year after. That doesn't matter. It does not matter a part of this rebuild. You need to have the best players who will be able to contribute to being a championship contender in Cage prime, in the rest of these young guys' prime, 3, 4, 5 years from now. That's what I'm worried about, and that's why I've been telling you guys on the podcast for the last few weeks. I've gotten some heat for it, but I'm happy to hear Torrey Rivers say that, because that hopefully means that he kind of sees it the same way I'm looking at it. Some other things that Torrey Rivers said in his presser, he said that he expects to continue to get calls for Jeremy Grant this week. He said, people are always calling for your best players. Absolutely anticipating that. It's sounding more and more like Jeremy will be traded on draft night. We'll talk about another report that came out yesterday in the second segment. But it's starting to really heat up with Jeremy Grant. It's heating up even more than it did at the trade deadline last season. So I think it's looking like he'll be traded at the deadline. But we'll see what happens. He also talked about how his favorite part of the pre-draft process is, quote, getting to know the prospects. Everyone has a story. I like getting to know all the prospect stories. It usually is a good barometer for who that player is and the person that they will be in the future. And we've heard Torrey Rivers talk about multiple times on many occasions, we draft the person, not the player. So character 100% is going to play a big part in who they draft. Now, obviously, if they're going to draft who they believe is the best player, yes. But if it's close and they feel like one guy has infinitely higher character than the other, I feel like Torrey Rivers is the type of GM, and he's exhibited that over the last few years. He's going to draft high-character guys. He wants to build a good culture, and I respect that. I think having a good culture and building good-character guys in that franchise it could pay major dividends for you down the line. You want to build a good culture, and I can respect that. But that's basically all he said in his presser. He didn't really give much insight to anything. He didn't say anything, you know, that's going to light everyone on fire here. It's still very much a mystery what's going to happen at 5, simply because we don't know what's going to happen with Sacramento at 4. He didn't give us much with Jeremy Grant info. So who knows? He didn't give us much of anything, but that the few things I did tell you guys, that was the best things I could pull away from what he had said. I guess you guys would be interested in this. This is another quote from Torrey Rivers asking if he sees a top 4 or top 5 in this draft. He says, quote, I've been talking about this question for 20 years. If that's the case, how does Giannis go at 15? How does Kawhi go at 15? I've never prescribed to that. If you do a redraft, it's always different. It's a draft. I don't see a drop-off. We'll do our work and come up with the best player available for us. So basically he's saying he believes in his process. He believes he'll be able to find a player anywhere because there's not always just because it's the projected top 5 doesn't usually mean that those guys will be the best 5 in that class. You can always find a guy somewhere down the line. It doesn't matter of your scouting department and how good you are at finding that player. So I feel like that was kind of him, you know, talking his talk, saying that he believes he could get a player anywhere, basically. So, and Pistons fans should be happy about that and feel confident in him, because that is where his calling card is. But yeah, that's about it. That's all we've got from Torrey Rivers in his presser. If you guys think anything about those quotes more than I did, let me know in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Cuckoo Hill if you're listening to this on the podcast. We did get another report about Jeremy Grant. We'll talk about that when we come back. A possible team that we've actually talked about in the past, a report comes out confirming some things. We'll talk about that. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, Prize Picks. All right, NBA fans, are you looking for a daily fantasy option for the NBA? Then you need to try their award-winning app, Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this, and I know that you will too. It's easy to use. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over under on the projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's really that easy. PrizePicks is safe and it offers fast withdrawals. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. PrizePicks offers any prop you can think of, from points scored to rebounds and even steals. And PrizePicks also allows mixed sports entries. For example, during the NFL season, I'd always take the under on Jared Goff's passing yards, but I'd take the over on like Cade Cunningham's points. So you can do it between NBA and NFL, but you can also do it between college basketball, college football, MLB, soccer, MMA, and more. And for a limited time, PrizePicks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our users. Users get $50 for free if a player in their first PrizePicks entry scores a singular point. But you must use a code NBA. That's right. There's an exclusive offer available to Locked On fans. Sign up today and use code NBA for $50 for free if a player in your first PrizePicks entry scores a singular point. PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, hit the YouTube channel up. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. We're on our way to 3,000 subscribers. Continuing to show Lockdown will be the best and fastest growing fan base at the Lockdown Network. So again, if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button. I'd really appreciate it. All right, so we've talked about Jeremy Grant a lot recently. We've talked about him a lot, really, this entire year, but especially recently because more reports keep coming out. There's more rumors that keep coming out. There's more fake trades that keep coming that we have to keep talking about. But this, again, let me make this very clear because I've had some people reach out to me and they don't really, they've been confused. So let me make this very clear. This is not me making this up. This is not me making up a trade. This is not me making up a rumor just so I can talk about trading Jeremy Grant. This is a legitimate report that came out without me. Believe it or not, I'm not leaking these reports. They're not coming to me and saying, "Koo, let's hear what you think. Let's go ahead and get a rumor out there that we can start." Believe it or not, I don't have that kind of power. Okay. I just don't have it. I'm sorry. Hopefully one day I get it. Hopefully one day I get big enough to where I can just do some stuff like that, but it's not right now. So it's not me. This is a legitimate report coming out that was leaked out yesterday. And we have to talk about it because we are a Pistons podcast and Jeremy Grant's trades rumors are some of the biggest news going on right now in the Pistons off season. So with that being said, I hope everyone's understanding of what we're doing here now. And I don't get hit with the, why do you keep talking about what you would do with Jeremy Grant? Again, a report. This is a report, not me. This is from Bleacher Report yesterday. I'm recording this again on the 21st. This was on June 20th. This one's from Bleacher Report. The headline is Jeremy Grant trade rumors. Pistons eyed Bogdan Bogdanovic. Hawks, quote, cooled the idea. And this is apparently from NBA insider Mark Stein. You guys will probably know him more for his time with ESPN. He doesn't work there no more. I honestly don't know where he works. I think he kind of does his own thing. But he is still an NBA insider. He says the Atlanta Hawks were cool to the idea of acquiring Jeremy Grant from the Detroit Pistons for Bogdan Bogdanovic and the number 16 overall pick in the 2022 NBA draft. Stein reported that Pistons were the more interested of the two parties in the swap. He previously reported that the Hawks continue to register interest in Jeremy Grant. Now, isn't that interesting? Because I could have sworn, you know, just a week ago, I threw this exact trade package out there. So I'm going to say this for you guys one more time. Maybe, just maybe, when I'm throwing stuff out at you guys and I'm making no topics and we're talking about things in the podcast, I'm being insightful on some things. Maybe it's because I know I'm saying these things because I happen to know something or I happen to have some insight on some things. I happen to know what I'm talking about. And maybe you guys, whether you guys disagree or agree with it, you guys should look at it with a different, you know, perspective. Wink, wink, elbow, elbow, nudge, nudge, as my old high school teacher used to tell me. So do I think the Pistons will actually make this trade with the Hawks? I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting. I think it says a lot that the Pistons, that they're saying the Pistons were the more interested party of the swap. Now, I think the Hawks probably would be interested too, as he's saying that they're cool to the idea and that the Hawks continue to be interested in Jeremy Grant. I think there's going to be a ton of teams interested in Jeremy Grant on draft night, the Hawks being definitely one of them. But one of the things I really want to look into that I think Pistons fans should look into, and I know some of you guys won't be happy to hear this, but the fact that they are looking into specifically Bogdan Bogdanovic. And I think it gives you an idea of what the Pistons want next to Cade Cunningham. There's been a lot of talk about what the Pistons may go after or what the Pistons may fill in at the two guard spot to play next to Cade Cunningham. And, you know, I've talked about the Killian Hayes archetype, the Lonzo Ball type of archetype I like best next to him. But I think it's quite clear that what the Pistons want next to him is a guy who can legitimately score and, more importantly, space the floor to an absolute T. Bogdan Bogdanovic would do that just perfectly. This past season, he ranked in the 89th percentile in spot-up opportunities. He scored 1.18 points per possession. On all jump shots, he was in the 66th percentile. Very good. And this was in a down year. You go previous years, you're looking at him being on catch and shoots in the 80th percentile. You're looking at jump shots in the 80th percentile. You're looking at all jump shots off the dribble. He's in the 80th percentile. Like, if you go back to two seasons ago, he's really damn great. And really, that was him for the majority of his career. Last year, he had somewhat of a down year for him. For him, he had a down year. And he was still able to do that. So, I think that gives you insight on what the Pistons are really looking forward to get next to Kay Cunningham. Now, could that be addressed in the draft? I'm not sure. It depends where they go. It definitely it's interesting to keep talking about this and leading up to the draft, because so many things I feel like. Now, Troy Weaver did say that he doesn't feel like who they draft will impact what they do the rest of the offseason. I don't believe that. I think he's just talking to talk right there. That doesn't make much sense to me. It really depends on who they draft. But if they draft a two guard or they draft a guard in general, I really doubt that they would trade Jeremy Grant for then another guard, because you're just having a crowded room, unless they package Killian Hayes with it and they just want to give up on Killian Hayes, which I guess could be a possibility, but I don't think so. So if they draft a guard, I don't know if they would go after Bogdanovic. But if they do draft Keegan Murray, I could 100% see them making a trade like this, 16 and Bogdanovic. You get Keegan Murray, who is supposed to be able to stretch the floor, pick and pop, do all these off-ball things at the four spot. You got Sadiq at the three. You get another guy who can space the floor at the two. And now Cade is looking at a space floor with hopefully a center coming in from free agency or maybe later on in the draft, who is more of a vertical threat. And now Cade can run a pick and roll, have a big man who collapses the paint, causes pressure on the rim while being able to kick out the shooters and open up more driving lanes. I think that's probably what the Pistons are looking forward to trying to do, especially after how poorly they were able to do that this past season and seeing just how bad they were offensively. We've talked about the numbers. 29th in overall offensive efficiency. They were 29th in spot up, 29th in catch and shoot. Like, they were awful, historically awful on all fronts offensively. So I think Troy Weaver, while not trying to go all out for a winning team, I think he 100% his goal, it seems like, is to put together a competent offensive team around Kay Cunningham to where it just doesn't look like an absolute struggle at all times to generate any type of half court offense for them. So I think that makes sense there. Does that show any possible other teams that have been rumored for Jeremy Grant, the idea of who they could possibly like? I'm not sure. Again, we've talked about the Hawks. The Trailblazers don't really have anything but that seventh overall pick. So maybe if they can trade Jeremy for that seventh pick, they'll take Keegan Murray at five, and then they'll take a guy at seven who they believe could possibly do that for them, whether that's Dyson Daniels, maybe Benedict Mathurin is there, maybe Shaedon Sharpe if they liked him at that position more. But I think these rumors of who the Pistons are going after for Jeremy Grant, who they're rumored to be interested in, give you an idea. They're trying to build a competent offense. If that means they take a step back a little bit defensively, so be it. But the offense was just so historically bad last year. I think everyone sees we don't need to try to win next year. We don't need to try to like be pushing for the play-in, but we 100% need to have a competent offense that can be run by our franchise guy in the half court without him being put at absolute liability, liability, liability everywhere he turns. You can't have a crammed floor with a guy at center who can't put pressure on the rim either. Like, it's just it's a design for disaster, and you're putting all your players in a position to fail and none of them be able to develop. So I think that's clear. I think that's the one thing you can see is their goal for this upcoming season, at least to me. That's what I'm reading. That's if I'm reading between the lines, I'm seeing the tea leaves. That's what I'm looking at there. So let me know in the comment section down below what you guys think about that, or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill if you're watching this or listening to this on the podcast. We got a few more days to go, man. We're 2 days away from the draft. Time is going by quickly. Where are we? Who are we thinking at this point? What do we think is going to happen? What players are we high on with 2 days left? Are you guys flip-flopping still? Are you guys still undecided? We'll talk about that in the final segment. But first, I had to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need. Why endure often pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning like, is your Odyssey an LX, and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home or in your pocket by using your phone. Save time and money when you're using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store, but only $216 from Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business that's been full of serving, doing it yourselves for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every single customer, and they have everything you could possibly need, from brake parts to tail lamps to motor oil and even a new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We're free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you have not already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. On the road to 3,000 subscribers, you guys get all of that. I'd really appreciate it if you haven't already. Or if you listen to some on one of the podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, go down below, leave us a five-star review. I'd really appreciate that as well. So, recording this as of the 21st, the Pistons have just 2 days until the NBA draft. And according to Tankathon, their mock draft goes Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren, Paolo Banchero, the Kings taking Jaden Ivey, whoever they trade up, or whoever trades up with the Kings taking Jaden Ivey, and then the Pistons taking Shaedon Sharpe. Now, I've told you guys multiple times, I don't believe Shaedon Sharpe is in the running for that number 5 overall pick. I really don't believe it. I don't think he's even in consideration right now. I think they have some other guys that are in consideration. Ivy, Keegan Murray, Dyson Daniels, Benedict Mathurin. But I don't think Shaedon Sharpe's in the running for there. So, again, do not place any bets. Do not put your money on Shaedon Sharpe. You will be losing money. You'll basically be donating. But anyways, where do I think the Pistons are leaning towards right now? Again, it's just so – we've said this multiple times in the podcast thus far, that this all relies on what the Kings do. And I tweeted this yesterday, and I kind of got some flack. I made it over to the Sacramento Kings fan base, and I got some flack about this, but I'm not moving off of it. I'm staying right there. The Kings are in a bad position. All the reports that we were told before, like the past like week and a half or so, is that they were really high in Keegan Murray, and they were going to trade back with the team that wanted Jaden Ivey, and then they would trade back to a team with a pick that they believe they could still get Keegan Murray at. But now it's become very clear, it feels like, that if Jaden Ivey is not there at 4, or if Jaden Ivey is not there at 5 and he's picked at 4, the Detroit Pistons will take Keegan Murray. So now the Kings are in a position where they have to choose. Do we want to just take Keegan Murray at 4 and not get additional assets by trading with the team that wants Jaden Ivey? Or do we get our additional assets from a team that wants Jaden Ivey and then lose out on Keegan Murray because the Pistons will take him at 5 right there? We can't trade back to, let's say, 6 with the Pacers and get Keegan Murray because the Pistons will take him. You can't trade back to 7 with the Trailblazers. You can't trade back with the team with, like, the Pelicans at 8. You can't trade back to the Spurs at 9, Wizards at 10 or anything, because it 100% seems like Keegan Murray will be selected at 5 by the Detroit Pistons. And now what's made it even worse for the Kings over the last few weeks is that Jaden Ivey has made it clear he does not want to go to the Kings. He does not want to be drafted there. He even came out with a quote yesterday saying, well, you know, it's not the worst option. Like, that was probably the most insulting thing I've seen leading up to the draft. Like, yeah, he can't – I don't think he can come out and just flat out say, yeah, I hate them. They suck. I don't want to go over there. But saying, well, they're not the worst option is damn near pretty close. That is basically saying the same damn thing. And the Kings are also trying to build a good culture over there. They want guys who want to be there. They want guys who want to try to turn that culture around and would love being a part of that franchise. And if a guy is openly saying that he does not want to be there, there's been multiple reports saying he doesn't want to be there, now you're stuck even more. Because now you can't just take the best talent available if you believe it's Jaden Ivey there, at least in my opinion, because he doesn't want to be there. So, again, it depends on what the Kings decide to do in their position. I feel like they're not in a good position now. I feel like they had more leverage a few weeks ago. I do not feel like they have leverage now. I think the Pistons have more leverage than them now, because they know that if the Kings trade back, they want Keegan Murray, and then they could possibly try to work a trade with the Kings and be like, listen, we know you want Keegan Murray, so do we. We're going to take Keegan Murray here unless you give us some assets to move back from where you're at right now. Like, let's just do a fake trade for whatever. And I'm not saying this makes sense. I'm just throwing this out there, hypothetical. Let's say the Kings trade back to, I don't know, like 7 or 8 or something, and the team at 4 takes Jaden Ivey. The Pistons know that the Kings want Keegan Murray. They could call the Kings up and be like, listen, we know you want Keegan Murray at 5. You either give us your 8th, 9th pick, whatever they trade back to. You give us that pick and an additional asset to come back up to 5 and get Keegan Murray. Or we're going to take Keegan Murray, and now you're going to be stuck with whoever is there at 8 and 9. Now, if the Kings are extremely high on Keegan Murray, like reports are saying, they really want to have him on their team. He's even met for dinner with them, apparently. Like, he's met with dinner with their franchise stars and Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox. Like, if you're doing that, you probably want him on your team. Maybe the Pistons could use that leverage, and the Kings are the Kings, obviously. Maybe the Pistons could use that leverage to try to get some additional assets out of this draft. And also, if the Kings feel like they have to get Keegan Murray at four, well, now the Pistons get what people believe are the best, is one of the best talents in the draft, in Jaden Ivey at five. So I feel like the Pistons, you know, at the lottery, I was really upset. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm some ecstatic person now. I still would rather have one of the top three big men. I'd be ecstatic with them. But now I definitely feel like now the Pistons are in a better situation than I thought after the lottery, because I feel like they have more leverage somehow at the number five spot than the team at number four does. If you guys disagree with that, let me know in the comment section down below or over on Twitter. But I really do feel like that the Pistons are probably finding themselves in a way better position now with 2 days to go to the draft than they did like right after the lottery or even the weeks leading up before this past week. So that's where I'm at as of right now. Who would I pick as of right now? Just real quick. Obviously, my mind may change with 2 days left. I'm just keeping that out there. Again, I would pick Shaedon Sharpe. I think he's going to be a really damn good player. The Athletic had one of their scouts talking about him. They talked about he's a great kid, high character guy. It really just goes against everything, all these rumors and people believe about him, because he didn't play a year of college basketball. So everyone just assumes he's for himself and just makes up these narratives. From what sounds like, he's a high character guy. He's a quiet kid who needs to grow into his own. That's probably his biggest flaw, that he doesn't have his own voice. He needs to grow into his own voice. But he sounds like a high character kid, great person. And there's a lot of question marks about him as a player, because he didn't play that year at Kentucky. But as far as him as a character guy and his potential long term, I think he fits both those scenarios. So I'd pick Shaedon Sharpe. If you're not picking Shaedon Sharpe, if Jaden Ivey's gone, I'd go with Benedict Mathurin at this point. I would not go Keegan Murray. It would go Shaedon Sharpe. If Jaden Ivey's gone, this is if Jaden Ivey's gone, I'd go Sharpe, Mathurin, Murray, Daniels. If Ivey is there, I'd go Sharpe, Ivey, Mathurin, Murray. That Sharpe is remaining number one for me at all times, but I don't think the Pistons will take him. But that's at least where I'm at right now. That's my board. Let me know what your guys' board are, again, in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Cuckoo Hill if you're listening to this on podcast platforms. Thank you guys for listening today. That's all I've got for you guys. I appreciate you guys making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to our YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. Also, the first picks of the Ultimate NBA Mock Drafts have been made. Search now for the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft and get over 50 insiders, the Odyssey Sports Experts, the Draft Experts of Lockdown NBA Big Board. The 5-episode Ultimate NBA Mock Draft is underway. Make Ultimate NBA Mock Draft your second listen of today. If you guys want to hear that on the podcast platforms, you guys will know that, or maybe you may not know because you didn't listen to this episode, but last Friday, that was the Ultimate Mock Draft. If you guys want to find out what happened, 1-5, I believe it is, either 1-5 or 1-6, you want to find out what happened and you don't want to watch a video version or whatever and you're in a podcast person, I completely get it. Go watch Friday's episode or listen to Friday's episode. That is the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft. You want to watch the video version, look up on YouTube, Locked On Ultimate NBA Mock Draft. You will find it on there. Again, make sure you're making that your second listen. They got a 5-part episode leading up to the draft. We're probably, I think they're at like 10 to 15 right now. So again, if you're interested in that, go check that out wherever, either on the podcast or on YouTube. Until next time, I'll see you guys later. Counting down the days, man. 2 days away. How are you guys feeling? I'll see you guys later. Catch you on the next episode. Stay safe, everybody, and go Pistons. Peace out.